One July day, Jo went to open the Marches' mailbox in the garden. In it, she found a letter from Lori, which she eagerly opened as quickly as she could. In a big, dashing hand, Lori wrote, "Dear Jo, what ho! Some English girls and boys are coming to see me tomorrow, and I want to have a good time. If it's fine, I'm going to set up my tent in Longmeadow and row up the whole crew to lunch and croquet." "Here's richness," cried Jo, flying in to tell the news to Meg. "Of course we can go, Mother. It will be such a help to Lori, for I can row, and Meg see to the lunch, and the children be useful in some way." "I hope the Vaughns are not fine, grown-up people. Do you know anything about them, Jo?" asked Meg. "Only that there are four of them. Kate is older than you, Fred and Frank, twins, about my age, and a little girl, Grace, who is 9 or 10. Lori knew them abroad and liked the boys." I fastened the pin onto my shirt, and with the dark green fabric as a background, I can almost imagine the mockingjay flying through the trees. Effie Trinket comes to collect me for supper. I follow her through the narrow, rocking corridor into a dining room with polished, paneled walls. There's a table where all the dishes are highly breakable. Peta Mallark sits, waiting for us, the chair next to him, empty. "Where's Haymitch?" asks Effie Trinket brightly. "Last time I saw him, he said he was going to take a nap," says Peta. "Well, it's been an exhausting day," says Effie Trinket. I think she's relieved by Haymitch's absence, and who can blame her? The supper comes in courses. A thick carrot soup, green salad, lamb chops and mashed potatoes, cheese and fruit, a chocolate cake. "At least you two have decent manners," says Effie as we're finishing the main course. "The pair last year ate everything with their hands like a couple of savages. It completely upset my digestion." The pair last year were two kids from the seam who'd never, not one day of their lives, had enough to eat. And when they did have food, table manners were surely the last thing on their minds. They had the look of leisure, of gymnasiums and regular facials and Western haircuts, done properly, not overfeathered. They could swap addresses and visit each other if they wanted, could just jump into a taxi to pop in. 5 minutes, they'd be there. And they had met, just as easy as that. Jen bit her bottom lip on one side, then the other. Her friend Renee had a Hong Kong paintings table, which, it turned out, was in a quieter room at the front. "How are you coping with it?" Renee said at the first sight of Jen's face. "Fine. It's wonderful." Jen smiled. "Really?"
"Ha ha, very funny."
"Well, it's just a bit weird."
"I know, I feel the same."
"Yeah?
Course, all these years of living in a Chinese village house, I've forgotten how to be British. I can't even get the security guard at our gate to wave at me, and my neighbors won't talk to me out in the alleys, even though I've been there 2 whole years. Come here to all this smiling, and I'm not sure where to put myself."